Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
First off, before we get started, I'm talking about the guys we got today. I just want to thank scouting staff, Joe Shane, Dan Morgan, Terrence Gray, the director of college, and the rest of those guys. They put in a lot of hard work. It was an odd year. Talked about that at the pre-draft press conference, just having to go about a different way, the Zoom world, getting the games, and just they really did a great job to help us get our board set. And then here at the end, the coaches, so many Zooms with these guys. Obviously, we couldn't get out a lot. We had a few that went out, but a lot of hands on this draft to help us get our board set and pick these guys. So, you know, thanks to Sean, Leslie, Dable, Heath, and the rest of our coaches. These guys grinded out to help us get the guys that we thought fit from the scouting world and kind of sync that up with the coaching world. So again, with that, we'll open up for questions.
Hey, Brandon, so sensing a theme here, three offensive linemen, two defensive linemen. Was there just a concerted focus on improving your team at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball this draft?
There wasn't like a conversation where we said, hey, we got to get X number of linemen or defensive linemen. We do believe in being, you know, stout up front on both sides of the ball. That's something that, you know, you're going to see here as long as, you know, Sean and I are running this thing, is that we're in sync on that. And the game evolves, it changes. Whatever you want to do, you know, there's more passing now than there was 10 years ago and obviously 20 years ago, but the game still won and lost up front. And so we want to be strong there. Obviously, there were some really good skill players that we had in good positions, but we either had, you know, some of these linemen over them or they went before we could, you know, able to get them. So we followed the board, you know, as we went down, we started going, you know, for some need spots, you know, corner, returner, safety. But again, even our last pick, you know, Jack was the highest guy on our board. And we just, there was nothing else sticking out that we said, man, this guy's definitely going to make our roster.
Gotcha. Do you expect to be pretty active in the UDFA market coming up?
Yes, we do. Yeah, we're waiting for this thing to end. That's why I told him, let me come on down here and speak to you guys and, get back up there and start recruiting.
Gotcha. Appreciate you, Brandon.
You got it. Thanks, Marcel.
There was a lot of talk about running back from us in the media and fans leading up to this draft, obviously. I know you said not necessarily having a home run hitter on the roster, you know, and people really kind of debated that. Is this draft, without taking a running back, does this draft basically just kind of reaffirm your faith to everyone in the running backs that you have on this roster?
Yeah, I think we've been very, you know, committed to the guys we have. When the conversation came up about the running back at that press conference, it was, you know, do you believe, or maybe one of the podcasts, I don't remember, do you draft running backs in the first round? I can't remember who I told what, but at the end of the day, there are guys that are worthy of the first round. And in our case, the point I was making is there are guys that affect the passing game or their home run threats. And so those would be the things where you say, maybe I would take this guy in the first round. And I kind of listed some of the guys in this league that I think are first round players. If they were in this draft, I would definitely take them. So I think it's unfair to follow, you know, I don't believe in, you don't ever take a running back in the first round. I think you take good football players as long as you have a vision and your coaches have a vision and you're in sync on that. So we were never targeting a running back or anything like that. You know, I think that probably got overblown, it sounds like, but there were some guys that we thought were really good and would help us at the right spot, but it didn't work out till when we were on the clock for any guy that was better than what we selected.
Thanks a lot.
You got it.
Hey, Brandon, good to see you. Sort of the same thing as Sal on the running back issue. I want to ask you about the cornerback issue. There was a lot of talk about how it felt like you needed a cornerback early in this round, in this draft. You didn't take one till the sixth round. Is that more of, you talked about it not being the right fit on the board, but is it also more that you just have faith in Levi Wallace and Dane Jackson? I mean, is it really that simple?
Yeah, I mean, it's both. We believe in those guys. Levi's shown it, you know, since he got here as an undrafted free agent. And then obviously we took Dane last year, and every chance Dane got in the game, it wasn't too big for him. He made plays and he's dependable, really good tackler. You know, one of the key traits that in Leslie and Sean's defense that we count on corners that some don't, some just play press. They don't worry about tackling, guard your man. We need our corners to come up and tackle. It's just the way this is built. So that's a big part of it that gets overlooked. Because people want to know if a corner can cover or can take the ball away. You know, so we're very confident in those two guys and some of the other guys on the back end. Cam Lewis is a young guy that got hurt. You know, I think he started a game, but we still believe in Cam in the mix. And, you know, we got, you know, a guy late in Wild Goose that he's versatile, can play outside and play inside. We love versatility as much as we can get it. And so, listen, as I said yesterday, just because we didn't get a corner high doesn't mean there's not other options later too. But we do believe in Levi and Dane and the guys we have here.
Thanks, Brandon.
You got it, son.
Brandon, John Worrell.
Hello, John.
Now that you've been able to address the pass rush and address, you know, some depth, a lot of your depth positions with today, I mean, now you've got the heavy lifting chore of having to deal with the decision with Josh and Tremaine Edmonds. How does what happened today or the past 3 days affect that? And how do you approach, you know, the deadline that you face on Monday?
Yeah, we're aware of that. We've had conversations and we'll get that handled by the deadline Monday. Nothing in the draft affected either one of these guys. It's just there's no reason to do it before then in our mind. We just wanted to focus on the draft, and now we'll take care of that before the deadline Monday.
Could you share which way you're leaning?
No, there's no reason to.
Fair enough.
We're waiting for you to get your hair cut.
Thank you.
You got it.
Hey, Brandon, it's John. I know you don't have a crystal ball. You're not going to make decisions for the coaching staff, but you look at this draft more geared towards the future or these guys that could, you think, be part of the equation in 2021?
No, I think we got guys that are going to be part of the equation in 2021. I mean, you know, Greg Rousseau, Carlos Basham, you know, as we've talked about before, we rotate our D linemen. I'm not going to promise either one of them a starting job, but they're going to have an opportunity to start. And, yeah, I expect them to be part of the game day rotation of our crew. And so, yeah, we definitely took guys. Spencer Brown, you know, he'll come in there and, you know, he'll compete with the guys. I'm not saying he's going to win a starting job, but, you know, he's an injury away from being in the game. And that happens, you know, especially at offensive line. So we wanted to make sure, should something happen to Dion or Daryl, that we have a guy that can step in and protect number 17 and block for those running backs. So, no, and even, you know, today, the returner, Marquez Stevenson, you know, that's probably the thing that was most attractive to us. He's still a young player as a receiver. didn't run a variety of routes there, but you get the ball in his hands and he's explosive. You know, the other guys will come in and compete, you know, with who we have. No guarantees here. You know, we are about competition. But, yeah, I think some of these moves are long-term, but there's a lot that are that should have a short-term impact on this 21 season.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Brandon.
You got it, John.
Hi, Brandon.
Hey, Vic.
Kind of along the line of what John just asked, compared with your first three drafts with the Bills, and I know last year's first round pick effectively was Stephon, but your approach when you were building to what you are now versus what I feel like this year was, which was, like you said, you stuck to the board, and yes, you're taking it every bit with all the research and every bit as intensely and seriously as any draft, but it had that feel like you weren't maybe having to stress as much about building and look a little more with at least a dual eye. Yeah, he guy can maybe help this year, but we've got this long-term thing. And you can do that when you succeed with what you were trying to do over these previous 3 years. Is that kind of a fair way to look at it?
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're trying to say, Vic. I think at the end of the day, we've built up the depth over time. You know, this was my fourth draft here and fifth since Sean got here. But we've built it up and we've added, you know, pieces in free agency. So it's harder now than it was 2 and 3 years ago to enter the starting lineup or make the roster. But you still, you know, we didn't go into this draft to be clear and say, hey, we just want to draft for the future. We wanted as many impact players this year as we can. It's just, it's harder. We brought back a lot of our guys that started and played a lot of, you know, minutes for us on this team that went to the AFC Championship. So I think it's just where we are. It's harder to crack the lineup and it's harder to make the roster, which is what I want. And I want to continue to be that way. And as painful as it is to draft in the 30s, I would love to sign up for that any year that we can do it. But that's, you're always keep an eye on the other part of that is after what they can do this year is who will be coming off the books next year. And, you know, who are we not going to be able to afford? Who's a free agent that I don't know if I can afford that guy. So let's make sure we have something in the pipeline, either in free agency that we did earlier or now in the draft.
Brandon, thank you.
You got it, Vic.
Hey, Brandon. You know, I talked to a lot of these guys the last couple of days about the Senior Bowl. And, you know, obviously in a year like this, that probably meant a lot in this process. From your perspective, how important was it and what were the interactions like with some of the guys down there?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get to go to the Senior Bowl, but they were able to film a lot of the interviews. So we did spend time watching it. And, you know, I enjoy the Senior Bowl. I hated I missed it, but it was for good reason with how long our season went. But it was great. I mentioned it yesterday to see guys go down there and compete because you see it every year where, you know, agents get involved and talk guys out of it, you know, from an injury standpoint. And while you respect it, you do really like to see when these guys take that chance and they want to compete against the best of the best. And usually that's what it is. The best seniors that do choose to play show up at that game. And it's a fun week. It's a fun atmosphere. We watch, I can tell you a lot of the plays in the Senior Bowl, and I didn't watch the game live just from us continually watching this player in the game, moving over, watching this player, watching two guys go against each other, corner receiver, defensive end, offensive tackle, you know, so it really helps us, especially if you got some guys that are similar and you want to compare them. Well, all right, here's them in one-on-ones going against the same player. So we like it when guys go to the Senior Bowl and, you know, we definitely found some players this year. Some years it works out more underclassmen, but this year we definitely found some guys who had a good week down in Mobile.
Thanks, Brandon.
Yeah, man.
How much did you learn from the previous draft class that helped shape this year's draft class?
You know, you learn every year, you know, how you set your board. You learn each scout. I mean, we've got a lot of the same people that now that we've since we've been here in, you know, late 2017, our first draft was 2018. So I think we've learned how to set the board and some scouts grade a little harder, some grade a little less. But we've also had continuity of the coaching staff. And so understanding what Leslie Frazier is looking for out of a nickel, out of a safety, out of pass rush, in, you know, versatility, what Brian Dable is looking out of his linemen, how does he want these guys to do their pass sets? What do we want the run game to look like? Obviously, the variety of receivers. So I think it all has made it an easier process of us understanding what they're looking for and them understanding how we scout and how we gather information. So it definitely gets easier each time. And, you know, the main thing, Mookie, is to set your board right so that once you get on the clock, once you just see it fall and you follow your board.
How much did the AFC Championship game help mold this year's draft class? And what basically have you learned from picking at number 30 for the first time?
Yeah, I mean, patience. You know, it was tough, and today was tough in the fourth round. There were some guys we really liked. You know, that was the – I finally paid for Stephon Diggs. That's over, so I don't have to pay any longer, which is – I was glad when round five came on there. But, no, it's you got to be patient there. And I would say from the championship game, you know, we talked about it. What I said earlier, we want to be strong up front. We want to protect Josh, and we want to get after the quarterback. And, you know, you saw what Tampa did. And so we definitely wanted to add a pass rusher. Like I said, I would have lost money if you said the Buffalo Bills are going to take two pass rushers in the first two or three rounds. But it fell that way. We were high on both players, and, you know, we just decided to take them both.
Hey, you can lose your money all you want. I got your back. Man, I got to back our pocket for you.
Good thanks, job. Thank you.
Hey, Brandon, it's Jay with the Buffalo News. You did something that you haven't done yet as GM of the Bills. You traded down. What made that the right move in the fifth round for you?
Yeah, just where our board was, Jay. We thought there were some guys. There were a decent amount of positions that we had similar grades. We had a number of players, and this year is a thinner free agent class because of – can't remember if I mentioned this to you guys before, but because the NCAA has allowed a lot of guys to go back for an extra year due to COVID, there are less guys on our priority free agent board. And so I just decided to – there were actually a couple opportunities where we almost traded down again. I was just trying to get as many guys because as your roster gets deeper to where ours is, it becomes harder to recruit guys because agents are looking at what is the best chance for my player to make a 53. So we had a number of guys in that fifth, sixth round range that I felt like there would be guys we like. Let's just get as many picks as we can.
Yeah, there was kind of competing philosophies on that. Like one school of thought would be to trade this year's picks for next year's when you have a more complete idea of the class. But you're saying go the other way where having the picks this year is a benefit because then you get the guy you actually want.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't have really an opportunity. We talked with one team about a next year's pick, but they weren't interested in that. We would have considered that if it would have made sense. But the other part of it was splitting up our picks and when we had the back-to-back sixth, we wanted to select DeMar. And then we had a team that was talking about coming up there, but it didn't work. And to what we want to do, we would rather select the player than go back what they were asked us to do. And again, nothing ever materialized to, you know, acquire a pick for next year. Like I said, one conversation, but when we got on the clock, that team's player was taken, so they were no longer interested.
Appreciate your time. Thanks, Brandon.
Thanks, Jeff.
Hi, Brandon. What can you tell us about Tommy Doyle? Kind of an interesting background and path. What can you tell us about your scouting work on him?
Well, I was scouting him for the hockey world, too. This guy was a big hockey player. So Terry and I had a good conversation about that. And, I think Kevin Adams is a Miami of Ohio guy, so he probably knows a little bit about him, too. But no, in all seriousness, big athletic young man, comes from an athletic family. And I was able to actually see him play at UB here this year. A few of us went up to that game and thought he did a really nice job. And he's just, like I said, we sent Bobby Johnson over to his pro day to watch him work out. And Bobby came back and just – one of the things Bobby said was everywhere he went, the people raved about him around campus in the buildings. Like, this young man is a hard worker. He's a great DNA. He's going to – whatever his ceiling is, he's going to work as hard as he can to reach it. And we like his size. We like his ability. We think he could have flexibility at tackle and smart enough and long enough to go in at guard as well. If you know, so we'll train him for all those spots and he'll just compete to be in the mix.
What are the conversations like? I mean, both your tackles are that you drafted are super tall and really athletic for that size. So a little bit of projection going on there with good traits, but what are the conversations like when you're trying to project how those traits are going to translate to your scheme and to the NFL?
I was working on a basketball team here for the Orchard Park League too. I'm going to run point guard for some of these guys, but now they are tall. It's crazy how big some of these tackles have gotten, but you know, you go back to Spencer, the biggest thing you're looking for is how well can they bend? And if they can't bend, it really becomes a problem. And, you know, we think these guys can bend enough to lower their pad level. That's probably the hardest thing that they have to do with at 6'8", so the guys don't get underneath their pads and, you know, they lose leverage. But that's they're athletic. We feel like they have the ability to be left and right tackle. There's many guys that can play both sides. Just gives the coaches more options on game day and protects us should something happen to Daryl or Dion.
Thanks, Brandon.
You got it, Matt.
Just going back to yesterday and Carlos Basham, I mean, obviously he's a rookie. He's going to have to learn, but, you know, he doesn't strike me as raw. Just kind of, do you view him, do you agree with that? And do you feel like he's got some, you know, some NFL, what NFL ready traits do you like and that you see in him?
Yeah. I mean, I think he's strong. He's dense. He's got good hand use. Arms not as long as Greg's, but long enough. Like his versatility and he's definitely ready. I mean, we looked at this guy and thought he could even come out a year ago, but really good player, good instincts. He's not afraid. You know, Mark, sometimes when guys go from the edge to the inside, we call it sticking your face in the fan. Just a lot of noise in there, a lot of banging around. It's not for everybody. You got some pure edge rushers that just don't like to get in there and mix it up. And he is a dense guy. He can rock guys back. He can win with speed or power. Power is probably his number one tool, but he's got hand use. You know, I know Eric Washington's got a plan for him. He'll continue to improve that. And like I said, we're looking forward to adding him to the mix. I think I said it last night, but he would be a lefty in for us and then come inside on rushdowns.
And last, just a general thing. I mean, you just look every year, there is this influx of weaponry. The Jets get more. You're going to see Etienne. You're going to see Kyle Pitts this year. I think there were 15 receivers in the first 100 picks. You know, do you feel like just the need to keep adding and making sure you've got enough pass rush in the NFL that is nonstop? What are you just your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's the game, as I said earlier, it's really won and lost up front. You can have all the dynamic receivers and playmakers you want. If the quarterback can't stay on his spot or can't get out of trouble or he's having to, you know, flush to the right, you know, the left side of receivers are out of play. So anything that you can do to affect that guy, we're going to play some really good quarterbacks this year and every year. It seems like five went in the first round. You know, the way the game is changing with all the 7-on-7s, and it seems like there's so many quarterbacks that are, you know, being made ready coming in. It's not a 3-4 year window now. These guys are coming in playing as rookies and second year players. So what's the best way to stop them is to put them on their back. And we have to stay strong up front. And like I said earlier, that's probably an area that we felt maybe we could improve this off season. Those guys are very expensive in free agency. You only have so many dollars. So another way to attack it is in the draft.
Thank you.
Yep.
Hey, Brandon, now that you've added some, a couple more high-profile defensive ends to the mix, I was wondering what you foresee Mario Addison's role, because I know you restructured him. What you foresee his role is going forward, both on and off the field for the roster?
Oh, Mario's great. He's already texted Sean and I. He's a big-time leader. He's, you know, one of the first things he said is, I can't wait to meet these young guys. I'm going to show them the ropes. And that's why you have to have guys on your roster that can teach the young guys. This is a big transition. And so, you know, one of the things I thought, Mario played a higher snap count last year than he did in Carolina, even the years he got higher sack production. He had to play more of the first and second downs versus just going, you know, on third or obvious pass downs. So the goal would be to cut his reps back a little bit and let him be fresher, you know, on the money down, so to speak. So Mario, we'll be excited to get him back. We did rework that deal, and he will now be a free agent after this season.
Yeah, do you think he'll play a big part in the development of both Greg, Carlos, and even AJ, for that matter?
This yeah, he definitely will. You know, he did a great job. He and Jerry both took AJ under their wing last year, and they're pros, and have no doubt. You know, Mario has helped FA, and FA and I talked about that when he got in here. You know, that's a young man that's come a long way from starting football when he was 21, 22 years old to last year getting 5.5 sacks. So. Mario's already – some of his work with younger players has already shown. And, you know, I think, you know, AJ, you'll see, you know, an improvement for him this year with more opportunities. And I have no doubt Rousseau and Basham will be picking Mario's brain and Jerry's too.